Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Republican leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Brian Newberry of North Smithfield. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, everyone.
Next week, we'll bring in the official start of Gina Raimondo's time as governor. A New York Times columnist says Raimondo will be teed up for the national stage if she can improve Rhode Island's famously beleaguered economy. Although the national economy is heating up, Raimondo is also downplaying expectations for her ability to make a quick impact. So, Leader Newberry, what are your expectations for Gina Raimondo, and what do you think she needs to do to be successful as governor?
Well, I think the first thing she's going to learn, and I'm sure she already knows this, is that the governor of Rhode Island has fairly limited power. And so to the extent the governor of Rhode Island, whoever it is, wants to get anything done, they have to work well with the General Assembly. In my limited dealings with her when she was treasurer, I think she was very effective at doing that. So we'll see how she does. I expect her to reach out to the Assembly leadership and try to persuade in ways that her predecessor did not.
Scott, we saw how, as treasurer, Raimondo was effective in convincing the legislature to pass the pension overhaul in 2011. How do you think it'll go between her and Speaker Mattiello once she's governor?
Well, it's obvious that Leader Newberry's correct. This is absolutely crucial to her. So far, she's been saying all the right things about jobs and stuff, but you know what? So far, her rhetoric is more slogan than policy, and we're going to just have to see how she is able to interact with the sometimes cranky leaders of Rhode Island's legislature.
Maureen, what's your read on how Gina Raimondo will do in trying to bolster Rhode Island's simpering economy?
Well, I think she's on a wave in the sense that we do have this national rebound, and it seemed to affecting what's happening statewide. So I think we're moving in the right direction. And she's fortunate. She's in the right place, and she's got an opportunity for 4 and maybe 8 years. Beyond that, in the short term, in addition to reaching out to leadership in the Assembly, the other thing I think she has to do is she has to reach out to other groups like the unions, for example, and mend some fences, because the Rhode Island governorship is a weak office and the bully pulpit is very important. So if she can take command of that, and that's speaking to a broader audience, that's one other strategy she can use for getting her agenda.
One thing she's very lucky on is that she has been given by Link Chafee a much better situation than he took over from Don Kachuri.
Sure.
We're going to go to some questions for our guest, House Minority Leader Brian Newberry. Brian, you've talked about how Speaker Mattiello has taken a Republican idea of trying to exempt Social Security benefits from the state income tax, and certainly many states do that. But is that proposal putting incentives at the wrong end when Rhode Island has a serious problem with young people leaving the state? Should the incentives be instead oriented toward trying to retain more young people?
Well, you know, I said to improve Rhode Island's economy, there's no silver bullet. There's no one thing you have to do. It's a number of little things. I had some people misunderstand that a little bit and thinking I'm not trying to propose anything bold. And I'm not saying that. I think we need a bold package of little things. When you add all those together, you're gonna see some real improvement, I think, in the round economy. I think the speaker's taking something that is politically popular and also has the incentive of keeping people here who don't move out, take their income, take their investments with them, take their philanthropy with them, and also sell their houses to people with children who then add more to the local property tax. So it's a good idea, but it's only one piece of a much larger puzzle, a much larger package.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
Another issue that you seem to be on the same page with in terms of the leadership is Speaker Mattiello has indicated that he wants to cut social programs. You also indicated that you wanted to cut social programs. How about stepping up and telling us what social programs?
Well, I've been saying this for years. I mean, there's the famous bank robber, Willie Sutton, I think his name was, who supposedly said he robbed banks. That's where the money is. The state budget is $8 billion. And I don't care what your politics are. You cannot justify a budget of that size in a state with this many people. If you want to do something to improve the state's tax business climate and take the pressure off taxpayers, be it property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes, whatever, you need to cut back on spending, and that's where the money is. We need to at least, as the speaker said, we have to at least align ourselves in keeping with our neighbors when it comes to eligibility levels and things like that. I know we're out of whack with that. I can't point something specific as we sit here on the radio right now.
But what programs?
Primarily social welfare spending. I'm talking about Medicaid. I'm talking about welfare. I'm talking about items like that. And also, by the way, one thing where I do agree with my progressive Democrat colleagues, there's a lot of corporate welfare spending, too. I've never been a supporter of that. I don't believe we should be getting targeted tax breaks and all that kind of nonsense either. So that's a big element of state spending as well.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
What do we do with Health Source Rhode Island?
I personally would just give it back to the federal government. I'll say this. I have never been a supporter of Obamacare from day one. ever. I think that the predictions that were made at the time it was enacted are starting to be borne out at the federal level. You see the revelations coming out in this Jonathan Gruber character, who apparently told the truth many times over the years on camera, and now it's all coming out.
And but isn't it better to have, don't Republicans believe in local control? Isn't it better to have this website and this program controlled locally rather than by some faceless bureaucrat in Washington?
At what cost, Scott? That's the issue. The big problem with Obamacare was this. Obamacare promised to provide coverage to millions of Americans who didn't have coverage.
And it has.
To some extent it has, but at what cost? HealthSource Rhode Island, what's the projected budget? You know, I heard an interesting story. About a year ago, I was on another media program, and apparently Governor Chafee was surprised when he was told that Christine Ferguson needed more money in last year's budget. Ended up being covered by the federal government last year. Needed more money to run it. At some point, it's not worth it to state taxpayers to fund it. It's a website. Okay, how complicated can it be? The amount of money that's been poured into this program in this state.
But it's not just a website, and you know that.
Well, yeah, you know what, though? At the end of the day, give it back to the federal government. They created the problem. Let them deal with it. Frankly, if I were the federal government,
they didn't create the problem. The problem was thousands of people, millions of people across the country didn't have health insurance. They're going to hospitals, getting free care. Which the
taxpayers... There's no such thing as free care, Scott.
Another top official getting inaugurated next week is Providence Mayor-elect Jorge Lorza. He, like Angel Taveras before him, he comes in without having been an elected official before. How do you see the outlook for Lorza, Scott?
Well, I think he's, again, saying all the right things. One Providence, trying to bring the city together. A big problem for Lorza, I think, is dealing with a Providence City Council. It's kind of like herding eels or teaching a dinosaur to do yoga. It's very difficult when you have 15 city council people who too often act like parish priests. They think of their own backyards and not the city as a whole. I think this is going to be a real challenge for Lorza. We don't even know yet who the city council president is going to be.
How about you, Maureen? What do you say?
I think the problems go even deeper than that. I think there's the political questions that you've raised, but I think the economy and the budget is in really deep have a really deep problems. And the only saving grace for a Lawser, who I think is a very competent guy, is that the state can't afford to let the city slip into receivership. And unfortunately, everybody knows that. But the fact is, I think you're going to see really dire projections when it comes to the budget. And I think the legislature is going to have to step in and deal with it.
Leader Newberry, you're from North Smithfield in northern Rhode Island, but certainly Rhode Island's capital is important for the entire state. What do you think Mayor-elect Lorza needs to do to be successful?
Well, asking me what someone in Providence politics needs to do to be successful is kind of like asking me if someone needs to do in Wyoming to be successful a little bit. I do agree with you, though, that the success of Rhode Island and the health of all the Rhode Island communities is dependent in part on the health of Providence. So I certainly wish him well. I hope Providence finances get turned around. It's a very sore subject when it comes to state funding for some of these cities. I mean, my town, for example, gets 80% of our town budget goes to our school district. And 20% of that is funded by the state in comparison to Woonsocket next door. And I talk to people all the time. The health of North Smithfield is directly tied to the health of Woonsocket. But the same token, it's a little bit tough for people in my town to see how much state money goes to support the Woonsocket schools. So when Maureen says the state's going to have to step up for Providence, that's a very, very loose topic. I want Providence to succeed. I'm not going to overtax the residents of my town to do that because of mismanagement by prior Providence administrations.
Do you expect Governor-elect Raimondo as a Providence resident to be very attentive to Providence?
I don't know. I mean, she lives in Providence, but, if you're the governor, you got to be governor of the whole state.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And House Minority Leader Brian Newberry.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org, and Happy New Year.